Hey, Scarf to from the Fair Meridian. So it's been a couple of weeks. We're starting a new parak, and I understand that we're synchronized. The name of the parak is Mahein Amaslos. In this edition, it's Parak Chavav, page Resh Ayin Tes. In the other edition, Parak Chav Beis, Resh Lamed Dalet. Now the word Amaslos is one that's found in Chazal and in Halacha, and it's typically, I mentioned this last time, is typically translated as excuse or rationale. But that's not really what Rabbi Nachman is saying, and we're going to talk about that today. It means to explain one's behavior. It doesn't mean like to look for, because the word excuse implies that you're trying to cop out of something, to make an excuse or to cover up something. So when Rabbi Nachman says that one should daven with tainus, last few weeks we were talking about tainus. So what does that mean? So we're talking about tainus. So we learned that tainus is not like a regular taina, the way that we use the word taina. And the same thing when it comes to amaslo, amaslos or excuses, it's not the regular way that we use the word making an excuse for oneself. Although one is explaining one's behavior, it's not the same thing. When you say that someone's making an excuse, it automatically sounds like it's a stam, cop out. You're just trying to get away with something. That's not what we're talking about. You're coming to this Baruch, you're coming to talk to this Baruch Hu. You're not running away from him. You're coming to him. So it would be absurd to run away from him when you're coming to him. So we need to understand on a deeper level what is the meaning of Amaslo. So I'm saying the more accurate way to translate, instead of using one word, is to say, to explain one's behavior. And then the question is, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need me to explain my behavior to him? He knows more about me than I do. And what's the point of my explaining my behavior to him in an honest way? Again, it's not making excuses. Tainus va'amaslos. Those are Rabbi Nachman's words. Amaslos enim terutzim. And Amasla doesn't mean the way you say, again, in the language of Torah, in the language of the yeshivas, a teretz. A teretz means to excuse yourself. Shaymi hu zeh sheyuchal loyma terutzim lefnei Hashem, abayichin klayus v'leiv. Can't run away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, this person is running to Hashem. He's coming to the Bardos. Was he making up excuses? He's not making terutzim. So it can't be that we're talking about Hirutzim. Hashem is Boichen Kloyas V'lev. Hashem knows what's in our hearts. He knows what's in our kidneys and our kishkas. And he knows when we're being honest or we're trying to play games. So this is not about, playing, some teacher in school, trying to fool a teacher. It's ridiculous. So let's first talk about what the word means in halacha. Amaslos hem biurim. In halacha, really, amaslos doesn't mean excuses. It means biurim. It means to explain something. To explain. Hesberim uperushim lemaaseh ha'adam. In other words, all of us are doing things and we're often misunderstood. Hashem understands us, but we're misunderstood by others. And we need to explain why is it that there are certain things that we do. Now, where it gets interesting is why do we need to explain that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's what we're going to talk about in a minute. But first, Amaslos Kaloshna Mishnah, Imnosna Amasla Dvareha Ne'emenes. So what's the Mishnah talking about there in Ksubas? The Mishnah and the Gemara is a Pesha, also Pesha hit there. The Gemara is talking there about a woman who first identified herself as being married. And then she changed her story and said, no, I'm single. I'm not married. So why did she change her story? So that's what the Gemara is talking there about. If she has a good explanation of why she said that, maybe she was afraid to be in a place because there are guys there that were threatening, and she said that she's married, and maybe that would be more safe for her to say that. In other words, she has to explain why did you say you were married and now you're saying that you're single. So the Gemara there is talking about in Nasna Masla Devara. It's not, doesn't mean an excuse. It means explain why did you say yesterday that you're married and why are you now saying that you're a Pnuya, now that you're saying that you're single. And the Gemara there is talking about the Nemanis, the degree of reliability that this woman has in changing that story. And that's the sugya of a Pesha Asa, a Pesha Hitir, without going into the halacha right now. But it means to explain. It means to explain. But then, of course, the question now is, Kein Masha Hikshir Rabbeinu. It's like the question that Rabbi Nachman asks in Lukut Amran, Torah Lama Dalet. We spoke about this a little bit a couple weeks ago. The bigger question when it comes to davening, why does a person daven? Why is it necessary to daven? Why do we have to actually say stuff? Why do we have to daven? Hashem knows what we're thinking. So that's a question that wasn't Rabbi Nachman's. Rabbi Nachman was not the first one to ask that question. That's a question that's found already in the Rishayim. It's discussed in many places. Why is it necessary to say the words? Why is it necessary to speak? Mavar Rabbeinu, she'onet shichim l'espailu b'necha teveis ha'tvila oisem kli. Rabbi Nachman says a very deep thing. Rabbi Nachman says that the reason that that davening cannot be in such a way of sitting and thinking, but davening needs to be spoken, to be said, if a person is able to speak. God forbid, sometimes a person can't speak. But if a person is able to speak, then the person has to talk, is that the tevos hatfila, Rabbi Nachman says, that the words of davening, whether they're words in the siddur or they're words of his bodhis, but those words that we articulate, that we pronounce, those oisim kli, they create a vessel, a kli. They lekabalas hashefa heloki. In order to be able to receive the shefa, the flow of bracha, of energy, of light that comes from Hashem, tzichim kli, you need to have a container, you need to have something physical, a chayfitz in this world, to receive that bar. So we need to understand what does that mean? Hashela neshalas adayin kochei yafel gabri maslots. But we still want to understand what is this business of explaining one's behavior to Hashem. What is this business of explaining one's behavior to Hashem? I took off the Rosh Hashanah shelf my slichus, because everyone here knows that probably it's safe to say somewhere between 70% and 80% of slichus. And if there's some time a little bit later, I'll just read a couple of paragraph words. 70-80% of slichus is what? Explaining our behavior. The stuff like, you know, goals is horrible. We don't have any money. They hate us. And you want us to be tzaddikim, and we're having a very hard time doing that. I'm just paraphrasing, but that's pretty much the whole book, no? That's the whole slichus, is that? Just for fun, one or two sentences. Some of my favorites, but even at the beginning, the first capital, the first licha from Motzei Shabbos, a couple of words. Okay, lovik shavnu l'shmol l'mochich. That means that we have not listened to our prophets and rabbis. No, but we're not. We have not listened to the Musa we've been getting. Me'oz v'ad ata onu nidachim. That from the time back then, we are nidachim. What does it mean nidachim? We've been thrown out of our country. We're among the nations of the world. Neherogim, which means what? Killed. Nishchatim, slaughtered. Nitbachim, slaughtered, should be slaughtered. Right? So Radnu Misei Ma'at, we are left as a tiny fraction, Misei Ma'at, Ben Kaitzim Kesuchim, and you put us among thorns who are constantly stuching, killing us. Einenu Kalos Blimitzar Revachim. Our eyes are looking for our Yeshua, and we have no Menucha. Parchei Amcha, those who are Parach Parchei, the ones who are enslaving us. Ashelabel Sheikhachim, who are bow down to idols. Tefaverev, Loma Matzlichim. We look at them, and day and night, hey Matzlichim, Loma Matzlichim. They have beautiful homes, they have a nice life, they have Parnosa. Kamim Lamulcha Neot says, they're hard words. They are, our enemies are fighting against everything that's holy. They fight against everything that's holy. Ne'otzos sochachim, and they mock us with their questions. And they say, Ritzutzim bameh atem barichim, you crushed and broken people, you trust in God. Shoichen ad, Hashem, you live forever. The Kaddish, and you're holy. Svei be'el b'nanuch. Take a look at the disgrace and the humiliation and at the pain of those who are serving you. T'muchem alecha, we depend on you. U'becham mus'achem, and we're attached to you. B'noros yimincha nevashel n'etzachem, save us kerachamecha rabim anu b'tuchem. All slichas. Any page of slichas. All different tzaddikim. Many of them are very ancient from the time of the Kalir. The Sfadim have different slichas than us, than Ashkenazim. Which means the an easy language. Look, we're not sharp. We just don't understand. Hashem, you understand. You're the creator of the world. You created us. You are the one that leads us and takes care of us. So here we go. Saradnu kesayren har bedudenu. We have been abandoned and left by ourselves. Schiu mos husam kvodenu. We are treated like filth in the world. Anenu usneinu michye bishubudenu. Give us something that we can live. At least a little bit that we should be able to survive this slavery that we're in. Oid l'minyon chabakesh avodeinu. It goes on and on. The whole slichus is like this. There was a whole slichus is amaslovs. And not talking about Jews who are running away. We're saying slichus. These people are saying slichus, not running away. And if you look at the kinis of Tisha B'Av, same stuff. There's history. The Kinnis has a lot of history. And then explaining in our own words, these are fancy words, but in our words, explaining why we are so messed up. And with everything, you want us, you're expecting us to be really frum and to be on and to behave and do everything great. And it's very hard for us. So these are explanations. Why do we need to have these explanations? How do they make a kli? It's not really davening. We're explaining ourselves. We're not praising Hashem. We're not thanking Hashem. We're not asking for anything. We're talking about ourselves. So, what is the kli? What are the kalim that these words of our explaining ourselves? What are the kalim that we're making with these words? Ach be'emes. No. The pashtus yesh lefarish. So the simple pshat would be to say, shamas los and emros, b'derach kol, b'derach shal sicha, b'en l'vein kon, nech shovas afhen l'chelik mea tfila. Rabbi Nachman is saying that we should say amas los in our hisbordus, meaning to say that it's part of our davening, that we are bringing this into our davening. Obviously, Rabbi Nachman is saying that even these words of, again, excuses / explanations, explaining ourselves, these are also somehow necessary to make kelim, to bring down the shefa. And Rabbi Nachman is saying that Hashem wants us to make these kelim. He wants us to argue our case, to explain our difficulties to him. He wants us to do that. Don't we wish our children would do that? Even though they're hard to hear, we wish our kids would do that. Life would be a lot better if our kids would explain to us, like, what is it that's bothering you? Instead of a kid just waking up and saying, I'm not putting on tefillin today. Nah, I'm done. What happened? I'm done. Maybe you want to talk about it? No, I'm finished. Explain what is it that's hard for you? What's hurting you? What's going on? So Kivyochel Hashem says, I want you to come. I want you to explain. I know what's going on. That's the difference between us and Hashem. Hashem knows what's going on. But you need to be able to talk this through. You need to be able to talk about it, to get this off your chest and to work it through. And until you talk it over, until you talk it, you don't even know it yourself. It's like, you don't know what's bothering you. That's most of the chevra that are walking around, they're throwing away Yiddish kite. They don't know what's bothering them. Some of them think they know what's bothering them. Sometimes it's very obvious what happened to them. But very often it's just, I don't know. Or the rebellious teenager. So the mother says to the rebellious teenager, honey, what are you upset about? And then he rolls his eyes. I can't believe you're asking me that. And you want to say to the kid, the reason you're not answering is you don't know yourself what you're upset about. You don't know yourself what you're upset about. You don't know? Ma, you don't know? Have there ever been parents in history who have heard those words? Ma, you don't know? And she says, no. Can you help me? I have to tell you. I have to tell you what's wrong in this house. I have to explain to you what's going on. I have to tell you what I've been through. I don't know. Just maybe if you start, I'll finish. Give me something to work with. By that time, he's already out. He's angry. He's already walked out. Done. Person doesn't know himself. He knows that he's filled with rage. He knows that something's wrong. And he's got all kinds of, in his head, all kinds of targets that he throws darts at in his head that are responsible for his anger. But he's got to talk it out. And that's really what much of therapy is about. You got to talk it out. So these are the kelim that we're discussing. These are the kelim. Again, this is with girls also, but especially with boys, because boys are much less likely to talk over things that they have, you know, on their minds and their hearts, much less likely to talk over than girls. That's why in general, boys are much angrier. And that's one of the reasons why, if you study statistics, 95% of the violent crimes in the world are committed by men, not by women. That's a very generous estimate. It's probably more than that. But why are men so angry? Yeah, but I want to get you angry. Why are men so angry? Jewish, lahavdil, non-Jewish, angry. Men are angry. There are a billion women that are the victims of angry men all over the world. They're suffering from angry men. Sometimes it's physical violence. It's more often, maybe not more often, but it's very often verbal violence, emotional violence. Now, you know, I'm not talking from a progressive, liberal, woke stance. I'm just talking about the reality. The reality is that men are largely the violent crimes by way violent violence, anger. Men. And try to ask him what is it exactly that got you so upset with you that you just committed a series of murders over the past, you know, 6 months? You've killed 12 people. Would you like to talk about that? And he doesn't know why. He doesn't know why he just killed those people. He might have some explanation. She got me upset. Okay, you know, you have to kill the girl. It's got me really upset. They don't know. They don't know. They have, but they think they know. They don't know. Person needs to explain, to try to understand. There's a lot going on in this additional ingredient in his bardus of talking over one's issues. Hashem knows exactly what's deep down. Taluma slave, what's hidden in your heart, even from you. So the person has to come himself and talk about it and recognize it and admit it to himself. I think this is an extraordinarily modern way of thinking. Rabbi Nachum is at the forefront of modern thinkers. That's why I always felt them studying with him around. Rabbi Nachum was so ahead of his time. Levaya lefarish, to explain. Lahazbir, madua asas mashasa hayulasa. Why did he do that which was asked to do? Since the time in the world they told you you can't do this, whatever it is. You can't eat lobster. Whatever. You can't eat this tarfus. Why did you eat it? That's what you were taught. That's what you saw in your home. You believe in God? Yes. So why do you eat the lobster? You need to explain. Try to understand that. Madua lazar. Madua us as mashakos ayulasas. Why did you do that which you're not allowed to do? And let's say even if it's not a halacha like kosher or not kosher. It was like ben al-chaveira, like hurting somebody. Hurting somebody's feelings or whatever. Something like that. An issa, between people, which is universally understood. Why did you hurt that person? Why did you insult that person? Why did you do that? You got me angry. You made me do it. Talk about it. Or why is it that you didn't do what you were supposed to do? Why didn't you do? Why are you not doing what you're supposed to be doing? You see a person, he's 40 years old, he doesn't want to work and he doesn't want to do anything. So why aren't you getting up in the morning and going to work? What's up with you? But he has to ask himself that. And he has to talk about it. Talk it over. Like, I'm 40 years old. There are people that depend on me. And I'm lying around like eating ice cream and watching basketball or something. What is that? Explain that. It's not because God doesn't know. God knows. You might not have a clue. And you need to work that out. You might need help from other people to come up with the answers. You see, the reason that Rabbi Nachman wanted this to be part of his bodhis is he wanted a person to feel that he is chayiv to explain his life. He's chayiv to explain. You can't live. You cannot live in this world being oblivious to who you are, because then you're not having any real connection to God either. You cannot go on like that, being oblivious to who you are. That's what we're learning in the Ayaka Chabur. You can't go on like that. Because if you're not able to explain yourself, then what you think is Kirvas Elokim, you think that's being close to God just because you do some of the regular, routines that Orthodox people do, that doesn't mean that you are close to God at all. It might have nothing to do with you, any relationship with God, or with your wife or kids or anything like that. And this is a chelik mibakoshes hamachila. You need to know and to understand what was wrong about what I did. So when a kid says, okay, I'll say I'm sorry. And the parent will say, do you understand? Do you understand why that was wrong, what you did? do you understand why pushing your baby sister down the stairs? Do you understand why that's wrong? Okay, it's wrong. I'm sorry, I won't do it again. And the parent gets frustrated again. I'm asking you, what is wrong with pushing a kid down the stairs? You said it's wrong, I won't do it again. It's never satisfying. It's not an explanation for that behavior. And therefore, the request for mechila is not authentic, it's not genuine, and it has no promise of any change of behavior. He doesn't understand himself why he did it. He's only asking for mechila because it's expected of him to ask for mechila, but not because he really, really feels he did something wrong. He doesn't understand that what he did is wrong. But this is the usual way people go through life. But really, really working out your relationship with Hashem and having an honest and sincere relationship with Hashem depends upon you being able to talk about these things. It's not making excuses. It's just the opposite. It's explaining. And that's why the Slichas is not making excuses. They're legitimate explanations for the difficulties that we're having of being Orthodox Jews, having serious difficulties. There are a lot of impediments. There are a lot of things that are in our way. It's hard. And I need help. That's good to talk about. And to explain, why haven't I been so excited about keeping Shabbos if the last three Shabbos has just happened that, some Cossacks came and burnt my home down. The past 3 weeks have been pretty difficult. So talk about it. I had a conversation some time ago with a young woman, maybe 20 or something like that, 19, 20, and she's going through some stuff. And she said, and I asked her, she has hard during this. I asked her, so what about Shabbos? Do you enjoy Shabbos? She started to cry. I said, I'm sorry, what is what? She said, she hates Shabbos. That's what she told me. She said those words. I hate Shabbos. I said, why? What happened? Shabbos? What do you hate Shabbos? Shabbos, you know, with that whole parsha that you're suffering with during the week. So she wanted to describe to me what happened in her house. And the parents had horrible marriage, and Shabbos was fighting always at the table, and that her father sometimes broke things at the table on Shabbos. And she hates Shabbos. Shabbos is the worst day of it. Explain that. To talk about that. Shabbos is a gift that Hashem gave us, but for this girl, it's a curse. That's what she's felt. It's a curse. So why isn't she keeping Shabbos? She told me she doesn't keep Shabbos. Because I asked her, how about Shabbos? And she told me, I don't keep Shabbos. And she says, I hate Shabbos. I was a little bit surprised. I thought she was keeping Shabbos. I didn't know. And she told me, I hate Shabbos. So you got to talk to Hashem about it. It's a serious thing, but you went through a lot of stuff. So growing up, that Shabbos is the hardest day for her. So we understand in modern language that Shabbos triggers very negative things in her. And she can't keep it. She feels that she can't keep it. She dreads it. She doesn't have anything to do with it. And she believes in Hashem. We were talking about stuff. She believes in Hashem. So you say that Hashem says she's supposed to keep Shabbos. I didn't say that Hashem says she keeps Shabbos. But how does that work out? The doubt is Shabbos. Shabbos is unbearable. That's something that you should explain. To explain that because Hashem doesn't know. Explain to Hashem, to talk to him about it. There's something very remarkable about this whole Indian of Amaslos, which we already are talking about. It's much more than just to sort of find a way to ask for forgiveness because I have done these things because It's not just about saying the reason I don't keep Shabbos is because Shabbos is, you know, has been a bad time for me. So there's so much more to all of this. So much more than asking mechila. When a person comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he explains why he did what he did, he is forced, and we're going to see how the word force comes into play here from another Torah from Rabbi Nachman, he's forced to understand or to try to understand his koiches hanefesh, what's happening inside of himself. Who is he? What is koiches hanefesh? Rubel kuta elochis. B'nei sheyesh b'adam shtei koiches ha'menugadim zeh lazeh. So here, Rabbi Nosson in the kuta elochis is talking about a teaching of Rabbi Nachman in Torah Ayin, and it's a very, 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 very big Torah. Deep Torah, this Torah Ayin, the Koach HaMachwiech, Koach HaMoshech, Koach HaMachwiech. So Ibn Asan says, is writing about this, there are two koaches that are clashing with each other inside each and every one of us. One is called Echol Koach HaMoshech. Moshech means that which pulls. Moshech pulls, like gravity, pulls. Hakoach Moshech is Adam LeShorasha. It's the gravity, the gravitational force in a person that's pulling him to the root of who he is, to his essence, to his core. Tasha Mizbor. Tasha. To the Nefesh Shalkis, to Elokus, to God. Koach zenatuo mushrash benishmaso. That koach is planted deep, deep, deep inside of his neshama, like it's explained at length in Tanya. Umisham meir leklal koaches hanefesh, and from the deep roots of that elokus inside of him, they grow these branches. That are the koiches hanefesh, the spiritual and emotional koiches that a person has, that grow out of those roots of elokus, of godliness. Haritzainis, the Ritzainis, so that's again corresponding to the spheres, Keser, and then also Chachma Bina and Das, and the Midas, and all of the emotions, the 10 spheres of a person, shall have Lumaso. However, there is an opposing force. Kayim koach ha-machriach. Now, machriach means coercion. Uchrach, hechrach, means coercion. So lumaso kayim koach ha-machriach. There is this opposing force to the Koach HaMoshech, to that gravitation, the gravity of Elokus, of the Neshama. There's a Koach HaMachriach. Also Koach HaMachriach as Ha'odam L'shtoikek L'dvarim Shem Neged V'tzayin Hashem Esbarach. There is a pull of Koach HaMachriach in the opposite way. That's pulling the person against Hashem's will, in the opposite direction, to the opposite pole. Lahamas is Hashem. It's too simplistic to call this the Yetzer HaTov and the Yetzer Hara. We're not going to go to why is it necessary to use these terms right now, but it's not the same. But we identify it with these two poles. Lahamas is Hashem, Machshava Dibra Maisa. There is this Koach HaMachriach that is pushing the person. Sometimes it's in a very, very irrational, bizarre way, pushing the person to rebel against the essence of who he is, to rebel against Hashem, that's his essence, in machshava, in thought, and dibur, with words, and even with actions. Adam Shalva Aveira. So Rabbi Nachman, that's the entire ayin. Adam, she explains. Adam Shalva Aveira Magi Shayet Sahara Vetaiva Skufai Ha'ochor Yechrichu Oso. When a person does an Aveira, he will often explain the Aveira. Not by saying that theologically he doesn't agree. You know, he doesn't believe in the Torah, he doesn't believe in God. We're not talking about that. He might have to come to that eventually because it's the easiest way out. But he'll say, what can I do? A Yetzar, but Taibas Guf, I have a tremendous Yetzar, and I have tremendous Taibas. My body has all these desires. And Hechvich also. And I was compelled by this force of these taivas inside of me. He'll say, I don't really want to live that way. Well, what can I do? Yitzray gover alav. The Yetzer is too strong. Now, some time passes. He makes peace with the Koach HaMachriach, with this oppositional force of Ra. He makes peace with it. And at this point, he no longer feels that he must do that. But rather, he always says, he wants to do it. In the beginning, he felt that he was being forced, coerced, beaten, and pushed to do the Aveir. Over time, he no longer feels that way. He feels that this is what's moishach him. He feels that this is what's pulling him. In other words, he's not fighting it. He doesn't feel there's a war. He feels that he's doing the Beratzen B'cheshek. He wants to do the Aveir from all Islam. Now, 2 weeks ago, the only way that this guy did this aveira is because of Koach HaMachriach, is because he was pushed and forced. That was 2 weeks ago. And all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, now, all of a sudden, he's on this team. He left this team, he's on this team. Well, Misachit, he identifies with this. No, this is now a type of behavior in his life. He identifies with this behavior. No longer, I can't believe I did. I don't want to do it. I'm trying not to. Help. I gotta get out of this. I don't want to be this way. Well, now it's a new lifestyle. It's a way of life. That's what's in the world. You see what's in the world. It's a way of life. And he feels connected to this new, he feels connected to this baby. It's not a milchama anymore. It's not a Koach HaMachriach. He feels that this is who I am. These are my roots. This is who I am. Now I'm able to be myself. This is what I've always wanted, to eat this tarfis. I always wanted to have this kind of a relationship with somebody, whatever. I always wanted to do this stuff. And now, in order to get rid of any tiny little shiraim of any discomfort or guilt or war, so then to accommodate this new mahalach, he could make up like a whole philosophy, theology, whatever. But people, that's what people do. In other words, hey, whoever said that Rabbi Akiva knew what he was talking about, you know, like, then you start talking like that. And how do I know that there are many people that say that God didn't create the world? And, you know, all of a sudden the guy becomes like some philosopher. And never said a smart thing in his life, and he became like this, some deep, deep philosopher. There was a great philosopher by the name of Sir Isaiah Berlin. He was a Yid, wasn't religious at all. And he once said something like this. I don't have the exact words, but he said something like this. He said, I know many people say, he said, I know many people who sound like they're profound and speak about profound things. But he says that when you know them more, you realize that the only depth they have is their shallowness. But the deepest part of them is their shallowness. They, on the surface, they're profound, but when you dig deep, they're shallow, as we said. There are people that on the surface, they're like philosophers, you know. But when you dig deep, they're very shallow. So what happened to this person? Now he's talking about all kinds of deep reasons why Yiddishkeit is not true. And, you know, you never heard of the theory of evolution? Evolution. That's why you're not putting out films because of evolution. So what happened? The Koach HaMachriach. Now is no longer, there's no longer any coercion. He now identifies with this new way of life, and he oftentimes will come up with all kinds of, all kinds of things. But this is why I do it. To prove that he's not being forced, this is what he wants to do. He actually enjoys and feels totally guilt-free of eating a cheeseburger or something. He's totally fine. So now he has a whole tire on this, why he's fine doing it. And this is what happens all the time. And he actually feels at peace and at one, feels with this maisa that he's doing, whatever this behavior is, feels at peace with it. Now, how did this happen? What happened in 2 weeks? How did the machriach become a maisa? The maisa became a machriach. What happened over here with these two forces of energy in the person? The answer is, He didn't try to explain himself to himself. To be able to say that I developed, I don't know, and I had this taiva. And to talk about it, why does he have this taiva? And to be honest with himself about it. He didn't sort this out and make a distinction between who he really is. And with what this Yetzer is pulling him to do, to the point that now he identifies with this. Now I'm one with this Aveira. If earlier, at the very beginning, when he still felt that it was a Koach HaMachriach, when he felt that this was against his will, he would have been Mevarer, he would have spoken about, talked, with Hashem, with the Rebbe, with the therapist, if he would have gone in the sugya to work it through, and 2 weeks later he might not be doing that avera, or he might be doing it and fighting against it that it shouldn't happen again, and he could still be in the game. He's still in the ring. But what happened is that he wasn't mevarit, didn't talk about it, and then here he is 2 weeks later, and this is now called my way of life. How did it become your way of life so quickly? There was no biur. He didn't try to understand. It's this very, very toxic mixture of guilt, taiva. And here he is 2 weeks later, a different person, throwing away everything that he once thought was important and this, the last couple of thousand years of Jewish history, whatever else he's doing, and no real explanation except some, maybe he started to make up some silly things, or, it's because of COVID or the internet or revolution or something, whatever. But how did that happen? The teretz is, he wasn't the teretz himself. There were no amaslos, there was no explanations, there was no effort to make a birur. When a person comes to his Baidus and comes to talk to Hashem, not to run away, the Pharisee has to explain what's going on in my life, to talk about it, to try to understand. Lishbech is pnimius libo al mashu be'emes reitze, and to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about what I really want. I really do want to be a good Jew. I can't. I don't know how to do it. It's killing me. Talk about it. My times are too big. And because my time is too big, I have to do that aveira. And if I have to do that aveira, how can I look at myself as being a firm person? Talk about it. That's what slichus is about. The whole tshuva begins with slichus. Why? And the svarim with the whole month of Elul slichus. Why? To talk over the Indian. talk over the Inyan. The Rebbe says, I want to be good. Every single sticha is saying, I want to be a good Jew. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do that. I'm trying, but I'm being pulled. There's a kach machriach that's making me crazy. I don't know what to do with this kach machriach. It's pulling me away. But talk about the kach moshach. Talk about how much you want to be a Jew. Talk about how important Yiddishkeit is to you. Talk about everything. From the essence of who you are, and to say, not everything that I'm doing is consistent with who I really am. Who am I really? I'm really a Jew, and I want to do the right thing. And I'm doing some things that are not consistent with who I am, but I know that. I'm not going to try to make up a new identity to accommodate my taiva. I'm going to talk about the problem that I'm having with my taiva and what can be done about it. Not to run away. The truth is, I don't want to do these bad things. I don't want to do this bad stuff. Which is probably what happens with most criminals. I don't believe there's so many evil people that are like Hitler, Yamach Shemai. I mean, evil people. Most criminals, if you go through the sugya deep in the sugya, they don't want to do that. They don't want to be criminals. I still have that faith in the general goodness of mankind. I know it sounds corny, but I do. I don't think more. And the person I was talking to that was in jail and was telling me about how kind the people there were with him. There were other scary people he stayed away from. And there were other people that were very, very kind. And even the scary people. There was this guy that gave him a blanket because the guard was an anti-Semite. They didn't give the Jewish guy a blanket. And there was one of the prisoners that gave him a blanket. So I have another one. And it was only like a month later, it was freezing cold, that this Jew went and because he got a blanket finally. They finally gave him one. And then he went to give it back. And he found this guy was lying on his bed without a blanket for a month because he gave this Jew a blanket. And this person told me that guy is a Welts criminal, like a serious criminal, not Stam, a criminal. Not talking about, you know, like a petty crime, is a serious criminal. People are good. But they never explained. So like now that they're in a 50-year sentence, you know, or a life sentence or whatever, and they have free therapy, then maybe, I don't think I should have done that. That was bad. Until that time, it's too much of a mess. Too many things that they just couldn't deal with. Because it's not an excuse. That guy has to be locked up. He's dangerous. But it's an explanation. And if that would have been a lot earlier, he wouldn't have done it. Or there's a chance they wouldn't have done it. Mash also have an Yitzhak talk for Yitzhak answer. There was a Koch HaMachriach. But talk about the Koch HaMachriach. All right, so Mitchell, we'll continue to talk about this.